The gospel reading this morning is found in the 21st chapter of Matthew, and it begins with the 28th verse. And Jesus is speaking. He is telling a parable. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard." "I will not," he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. The tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe." The gospel of our Lord, and thanks be to Christ. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Here is a very peculiar question. Have you ever wanted to smell like Jesus? You know, I really doubt, that never crossed my mind until I read this little vignette. I doubt that any of us have ever given it too much thought. But there's a perfume manufacturer in California, where else? You know, the very home of fruits and nuts. But they promise exactly that. The makers of the perfume, and the perfume's called Virtue. And they claim if you wear that perfume, you will smell like Jesus and the disciples. You know, I couldn't make a story like that up. It's real. You can find it on the internet, Virtue. And using the Bible as a guide to what kinds of plants were used in perfumes in the Holy Land when Jesus and the disciples were walking that part of the earth, scientists at a perfume company claim that Virtue is a close approximation of what Christ and his followers would have smelled like. It's really a sweet blend mostly of apricot, frankincense, and myrrh. So you too can smell like Jesus. Just buy their product. But obviously that's kind of a absurd approach. A marketing and money-making gimmick, but it does lead to a much more serious idea. At the beginning of his book, Just Like Jesus, and I think Gail has it, I've been through it twice. But he makes this statement, which I believe is quite important. And he says, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. And sometimes I suspect that we modern people hear only the first of these words. God loves you just the way you are. I know I've heard it many times and no one ever follows up with the rest of that statement. And you know, that suits most people just fine. We want God to accept us just as we are and then leave us alone. As long as God loves us just as we are, we've got it made. But I suspect Max Lucado is closer to the truth. Here is the whole gospel. God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. This is Paul's message to the church at Philippi. Listen again to this. It's beautiful and profound words. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing of his spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationship with one another, have the mindset of Christ Jesus. Paul has encouraged the church at Philippi to live in harmony and humility, following the example of Christ. Be like Christ, he is saying to them. Humble yourselves as he humbled himself. Be a servant as he became a servant. Have the same love. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Somewhat like Carol was pointing out, in children's time, you don't want to put yourself up on a pedestal. You know, it's a dangerous thing. You do accomplish great things. I'll grant you that, Carol. You and your co-workers from time to time accomplish great things, but that doesn't mean you're superior to those that you do it for. You know, so we need to keep that in our mindset. Note that St. Paul's words are directed to a church. This characterizes a healthy church. We humble ourselves and serve one another. I like something that Ronald Nicholson once wrote. He said, what is the quickest way to identify a great city? Almost everyone knows that Paris is the home of the Eiffel Tower. Rome has its Colosseum. London has Big Ben and the Tower Bridge. Moscow has its Kremlin. And around the world, many cities have landmarks by which they are recognized. Certainly we have many in our nation's capital. But then again, every small town and village often has some unique features that give them a special holiday. All over this country, all over the world, actually. Other cities are famous for what happens there. Los Angeles makes movies. That's about all. I'm not prejudiced against California, but, you know, no love there. Cannes has its annual film festival. New Orleans has a big Mardi Gras. Even if it's only Hayden Days or the Tater Festival, communities identify themselves in very distinct ways. Nicholson asked this question also, what is it that identifies the Christian community? The church universal as such. What is the landmark that makes us recognizable to the world? It is our loyalty to Christ, of course. But that's not all. Jesus himself said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. The identifying landmark in the church is love. This is a great statement about what the church is meant to be, made by Paul. Have the same love. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. A healthy church is a church where its members look out for each other. Simon and Garfunkel, of course, this seems reasonably fresh to me, but they had a song back in the early 70s. And maybe you can identify with it. It was like a bridge over troubled waters. And some of you will probably remember the lyrics. When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side. When times get rough and friends just can't be found, like a bridge over troubled waters, I will lay me down. That's how the church should be. There's an interesting phrase that has entered common vernacular in these days, and I used to hear it a good bit when I worked with the 20-somethings and 30-somethings up until April. And it's the phrase, I'll have your back, or I've got your back. And if I say one to someone in a difficult situation, I'll have your back, it means I'll be there for you, look out for you, help you out when you're in trouble. The testimony of Scripture is that God always has our back. And we are to have each other's back. Or as the Simon Garfunkel analogy, God is our bridge over troubled water. And we seek to be bridges for others. This is the meaning of Christian community. This is how God judges his churches. Our church may not be the largest in the area. We know it's not. We may never get an extraordinary amount to missions in comparison to larger and more affluent churches. But still, we can be an extraordinary church if we will be there for one another, look out for one another, and help one another in times of trouble. A church family is a study in the life of Jesus. That's what Paul says. As he says, to have the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition and conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. Can you imagine what our church would be like if we took these words very literally? We often say the church is the body of Christ. That doesn't mean that we cover ourselves with a special perfume so we will smell like Jesus. But it does mean we ought to live like Jesus and serve like Jesus. This means that the church should be willing to lay down its life in order to fulfill its mission. You'll have to think that through for a few moments. This may sound a little radical, but it's not our job to protect the church. Many churches are fixated on making sure their church survives above all other ideas. Our task is not survival, but service. If we give service, we don't have to worry about survival. So many churches have been unwilling to take controversial stands because they might lose influential members. So many churches have been unwilling to serve the least and the lowest because they might not mix well in the church family on Sunday morning. Some churches get to a crossroads in their church life when a bold move of faith is called for, but they shrink back. Out of fear, they think they must protect the church at all costs. One phrase I heard in a seminar at Sumatonga one time for pastors was, has your church done anything where they had to step out in faith, knowing the only way they could do it was with the help of the Holy Spirit? We don't do it much. We should. Listen to the rest of Paul's words in our lesson from Philippians. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider him equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. To live like Jesus is to love and serve one another and to lay down our life for the world. This is to say that our mission is twofold: love one another and love the world for which Christ died. Years ago, there was a very disturbing case that you can read about if you're a history buff. Came before the courts in the state of Massachusetts back in the 1920s. And it concerned a man who had been walking along a pier when suddenly tripped over a rope and he fell into the cold, deep waters of the bay. And he came up sputtering and screaming for help, and then he sank beneath the surface. For some reason, he was walking on a pier, yet he was unable to swim. His friends heard his faint cry at a very far distance, but they were too far away to rescue him. But within a few yards was a young man lounging on a deck chair, he's sunbathing. Not only could the sunbather hear the drowning man plead, "Help, I can't swim," he was also an excellent swimmer. But the tragedy is that he did nothing. He only turned his head to watch indifferently as the man finally sank and drowned. The family of the victim was so upset by that display of extreme indifference and cruelty that they sued the sunbather. The results? They lost the case. With a measure of reluctance, the court ruled that the man on the dock had no legal responsibility whatsoever to try and save the drowning man's life. There's a world of need outside of these doors. Nobody's going to sue us if we look away. Nobody's going to sue us if we ignore needs. Only God will know. But think what that means. God will know. St. Paul was writing to the church when he said that we are to have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Our job is not to concentrate on protecting the church, but as a church to love and serve one another and be willing to lay down our life for those who are outside our doors. Love for one another, love for the world. This is what it means to live like Jesus. In today's world where murder, massacre, war, and mayhem reign, this is again a radical and inspiring idea. Let us love one another as Christ loved us, and love others as ourselves. Amen.